I'd like now to welcome Stephen Guerin. He is a principal with Redfish Group and chair of Santa Fe Complex. Welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And you're going to be speaking in a talk titled Using Computer Games to Stimulate Complex Real World Problems. I mean, video games and real world problems seems like almost a contradiction.
Well, real-world problems are very complex these days, where there's a lot of interactions. Computer games are a place where many things can happen at once, and kids are growing up with these tools and have an understanding of how to interact with a computer. So we're using computer games and the kind of technology behind it to simulate very large, complex systems. So computer games and the industry have generated a lot of technology in the computer, like your graphics card that makes it very fast, allows some of those what are called game engines to run very fast, and they compete with tools that are coming out of the labs. So the industry of computer games is a great place to look for new developments in technology that can help us solve problems.
So, first of all, let's talk about what complexity science is. In other words, when we're talking about complex systems, what are they, and how do they differ from simple systems?
Right. So, the complex systems may sound like an imposing thing, but they're at the foundation, they're systems with a lot of interacting components. It's kind of a homegrown science in Santa Fe, so internationally. People look to Santa Fe as one of the places in the world that this kind of thinking has developed, coming out of Los Alamos Labs in the 80s and research at Sandia Labs. The mecca of complex systems is Santa Fe Institute up on Hyde Park Road. And so looking at a system, traditionally science and other spaces looking at systems like economics or finance or just social systems tend to break down a system into isolated parts. Complexity is about how do we reintegrate and synthesize a system and look at the interactions and how they can generate order.
So I was talking to one of your colleagues at Santa Fe Complex the other day, and he was saying that when you have a complex system like a flock of birds, there's actually some very simple rules that govern the flight of a flock of birds and why they flock the way they do, and using very simple algorithm, you can make a graphic of that on a computer.
Right. This is something that was researched in the late 80s by Craig Reynolds. He was a Hollywood animator looking at Batman's Returns, and he had the task of, how am I going to handle all these bats in the movie coming out of a cave? And the traditional approach would be like a puppeteer having to tell every bat where to go. And at the macro level, or the higher level, a flock of birds or a school of fish is a very complex system. The dynamics are twisting and turning and very hard to capture with a couple of equations. But if you approach the problem from the bottom and just look at the bats or the fish or the birds in that system and look at their interactions, we don't really care too much what's going on inside their minds, but how do they interact? Some they'll try to make sure they don't collide, they'll align themselves, and they'll move to the center of mass of each other. Those three simple rules can drive the dynamics of flock. Once you put 5,000 of those in the computer and watch the system run.
And amazingly, it'll look like a flock of bats or birds.
Yes, with very similar dynamics.
And so when you talk about using computer games to simulate real-world problems, and I actually find it fascinating, a little scary, that such a breakthrough came through Batman animation, but never mind. What kind of real problems are you looking at solving? Are you working on?
We've done some local projects. For instance, we worked with some students maybe 5 years ago when Chief Lennon was here, looking at the crowd dynamics at Zizobra and Chief Sperling.
So do people in crowds behave like bats?
To some degree, the interactions are very similar. People try to minimize the collisions with each other. When you're going out towards the exit, you align with each other. The advantage of this kind of simulation is you can also have many kinds of agents, maybe a parent with a child, and they're constrained by, if their child kind of falls behind, they'll go back with them. So we're able to simulate maybe 20,000 to 30,000 people leaving Zizobra. That was a local project, but
so you made a video game simulation that was actually a graphic that looked like and simulated the traffic flow of people leaving Zizobra.
That's right.
And so how did that help the police department or the traffic control people or whatever?
Yeah. So this is the crowds leaving Zizobra. So this is when there's a lot of people managing the event. For instance, the Kiwanis and the police and the fire. Departments all have their own concerns. So this was a chance to look at the park and say, well, what if we made sure that everyone came in for multiple exits? Because in times of stress, people tend to go where they tend to leave where they came in from. So it was very important to have multiple ticket booths entering the park as well as leaving, letting more people know where the exits are. That was an example.
And so it did help. It did make a difference.
Right.
Very interesting. And are these things still used in the city for such things?
So maybe the following, maybe 2 years later, we looked at wildfire evacuation. So this was the interaction of two complex systems, looking at the traffic flow through town, coupled with the dynamics of a wildfire. And we looked at five scenarios around town of if a cigarette butt hit I-25, someone threw it out their window, and the wind was coming out of the southwest, what would the fire look like, first of all? What would the smoke and flame length look like, and how long would it take to reach the mountains? And then what would the traffic look like in response to that, and teaching people that maybe shelter in place is a good option if there's not time to evacuate.
So there's also a study that you're doing about Venice, Italy.
Right, so this is kind of more, again, the international community is looking to Santa Fe is coming up, and New Mexico in general, is a place where this kind of thinking is the mecca. So this is looking at how is the traffic, which in Venice is all boats pretty much. There's a couple cars on the west side near the train station, but pretty much all the restaurant, the trash pickup, the ambulances is all boats. So we're simulating the traffic on the canals with what's called agent-based modeling is the term of this kind of simulation, looking at how different stakeholders in Venice can manage the canals. The city wants to minimize the waves and the noise. The taxi drivers want to minimize the length of their routes. The cargo drivers want to maximize how much cargo they can deliver. All of these three factions need to kind of get around a common table and look at the problem as a group. And so simulation and visualization of the canals in Venice is one of those approaches.
So tell us more about Santa Fe Complex.
So Santa Fe Complex is something that's opening in 2 weeks, May 1st. It's in the northwest corner of the rail yard along Agua Fria at 624 Agua Fria. It's a place where we see there's a real need for people doing project work in Santa Fe. If there's a loose term of the Santa Fe approach in complex systems, extending beyond the scientific and theoretical research, but many practitioners in Santa Fe, whether they consider themselves complexity researchers, many have kind of a very similar perspective of how systems can emerge from the interactions of local individuals and the importance of looking at the whole system when addressing a problem and not little components. So we see the Santa Fe Complex as a place where many different pockets of Santa Fe researchers and thinkers can come together and work on projects. Internships and mentorships with students is a key mission, so kids can get real-world experience working on these problems. In a tongue-in-cheek way, we call it Warehouse 42, or 63 or 84, depending on who we're talking to. But it's a place where people can come together and create new ways of looking at systems, visualization, simulation, game design. Again, opening May 1st.
And so I was actually over there the other day taking a look at it and trying to grasp what's going on there. And it's hard to understand. Do you expect... Is part of it people actually showing up and coming together in the building, or is a lot of this expected to be done in a cyber kind of way?
I think a combination of both, but we see the importance of place and the importance of, first of all, Santa Fe and northern New Mexico as a place internationally where people are coming together, and the Santa Fe Complex in particular, where people are able to work on their own projects, but also be informed by what other people are researching and doing. So one of the metaphors is the Renaissance Bottega, where artists used to work together in a common space and be informed by each other's research. Someone over in the corner might be researching the latest techniques in mixing pigments. The master artists were using these techniques in their work and training students on how this is done. So much work in Santa Fe is done on a project basis versus company basis. People come and go on projects, and we think it's important to have a place where students can come and get kind of infused into the project kind of work going on in Santa Fe, and seeing there's much more potential in Santa Fe for creative outlets and work beyond thinking about, well, where can I go get a job? But, you know, these are paying projects that kids could work on, so we're excited about the Santa Fe Complex as being that kind of nexus.
So how do you get young people involved? I mean, I imagine there's a barrier you have to break through when you start talking about, complexity math.
Right. I think it's actually a very natural transition, and there's a couple organizations in New Mexico that we're working with, and they're just doing fantastic work. The Supercomputing Challenge is one of them. It's kind of a science fair for computing, where kids get to work on these complex systems. Today they're on their way up to Los Alamos for kind of the final judging and presentations of their work. 300 students from around the state are looking at things like crowd dynamics or wildfire evacuation or the spread of epidemics. So that's a fantastic group that we work with. That group, another one out of Santa Fe Institute, is Project Guts, which is growing up thinking scientifically, is another way where kids get to interact with and look at complex systems with computer games and actually physical exercises. And we think it's not a very even though the word is intimidating, actually. It's a very natural way of looking at systems. So, as I was mentioning before, with the flock of birds, if you tried to represent that with mathematical equations, it'd be very difficult and complicated, and it would take up through graduate school before you can kind of really get the right kind of equations to capture it. But with agent-based modeling or this game design kind of approach, it's a very easy and natural way to represent systems.
Stephen Guerin, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Right, thank you. This is an institution. Thank you.